Welcome to the Modern Jewish Girl podcast. I'm Jenna, lawyer by training, writer and teacher at heart. I was a secular girl from New York who happened to be Jewish. Then a trip to Israel changed everything as I discovered the depth and relevance of the Torah for the first time. I created this podcast to share deep, beautiful Torah wisdom in an accessible way and explore how we can integrate this timeless wisdom into our modern lives. As a wife and mother with my own personal and spiritual struggles, I know how hard it can be to show up every day with joy, faith, inner peace, strength, and clarity. I share bits and pieces of my own journey in hopes that it will help you on yours. I really want to thank you for listening. If you like what you hear, please give us a rating, a review, and share the show with family and friends. Okay, here we go. Welcome back. Since the horrific attacks in Israel on October 7th, there were many, many ripple effects in Israel. One of them being that there were many displaced families from southern Israel. About 50 such families came to Har Nof, a neighborhood in Jerusalem. And my close friend, teacher, and mentor, Yael Saria Zanowitz, stepped up and just hit the ground running with two other women in the community to establish what's called Chamal Har Nof. Chamal is an acronym for the words Cheder Milchama, which means literally war room. Essentially, they've been working nonstop since October 7th to help the displaced families with everything they need, helping them find emergency accommodations, providing trauma therapy for the victims, supplying groceries, basic needs for the families who usually live paycheck to paycheck before the attacks and now are homeless and jobless, coordinating urgent medical and logistical needs as they arise, ensuring displaced children are absorbed into the childcare and education systems in Jerusalem, which is not simple if you know the school systems in Israel, preparing meals and Shabbos packages, arranging simchas, weddings, engagements, bar mitzvahs, upsharons, providing supplemental funding for these things, giving special support for families that have given birth while they're displaced. Can you imagine not being your own home, not being able to go to your own home after giving birth? And much more. And their efforts are not just focused on the displaced families, but have also expanded to certain army bases that they've adopted and to wives of soldiers in Har Nof, women throughout Israel who've given birth. It's really unbelievable what they're doing. Yael is going to get into it into more detail. It's extremely inspiring to see somebody who's not in the IDF, but is literally on the front lines, day in and day out, doing everything they can for the Jewish people. Some of the stories that Yael is going to share are so heartwarming. We're really part of a very special and beautiful nation. Just briefly, I met Yael when I was studying law school at Penn. She was working as a Jewish educator on campus. And so I've known her for many years now. She actually learns Torah with women on Zoom. I learn with her myself every week. It's unbelievable. She learns with women of all backgrounds. She's an amazing Torah teacher. So if this is something that speaks to you, please be in touch with me. I know she has a few slots left open, and it's really an amazing, amazing part of my week. It's like food for my soul. And I just want to share another thing that could be relevant to listeners, which is Chamal Har Nof now is trying to create a project where different communities outside of Israel sponsor packages for the wives of soldiers in Har Nof specifically. So it's about 30 packages that they want to distribute from different communities. So like 1 week, the packages will go out from the Chicago community, and then another week could be from the Los Angeles community, things like that. And the packages could be, you know, art supplies for the kids or chocolates for the mom, something just sending a hug basically to the wives of the soldiers and letting them know that we're thinking about them and we're with them. So if this is something that interests you, also feel free to be in touch. And without further ado, here is Yael. Okay, Yael, thank you so much for coming on and describing a bit about the amazing and crucial work that you've been doing in Israel. First, can you give us a little bit of background about where you grew up, when you made Aliyah, when you moved to Israel, how long you've lived in Har Nof, things like that?
Sure. First of all, thank you so much, Jenna. I'm very excited about this. So I'm originally from Chicago, and after high school, I spent a gap year in Israel, and I really, really fell in love with our country and wanted to make Aliyah. So I went back to America, finished college, and really wanted to make Aliyah at that point. My plans fell through, and I just very much saw Hashem was opening up door after door of opportunities for me to work in informal Jewish education, and I just really fell in love with that work. I worked for NCSY, for JSU. I worked for Meor at University of Pennsylvania, and with Young Professionals in New York. And after 10 years, I finally had my dream come true and moved to Israel. I moved here about 10 years ago, and continued working in informal education. I worked for Thrive, which is a program for people for students studying abroad at different universities here. Went back to working from Orr and running Poland trips, Jewish Futures in England. So I, you know, thank God, I've really touched a lot of different informal education opportunities. And currently, I work privately with women all over the world, actually, learning weekly, having weekly sessions about different topics in Judaism from, you know, women from diverse Jewish backgrounds. And I got married 5 years ago, and we live in Hanov, and we have a beautiful little almost 2-year-old boy. And yeah.
At full disclosure, Yael and I met when I was at Penn. You were working for Mayor at the time, and that's when we started learning together. And I went on the Poland trip, which you helped organize, and was unbelievable. And I still remember all the desserts that you baked on the trip. And that was it. And since then, we've always been in touch. And we learned. I have the privilege now of learning Torah with you over Zoom. You know, it's an amazing thing that we're able to do it, and I enjoy it so much. So anyone out there who a woman who if you're a woman and you're interested in learning, I highly recommend learning with Yael, because it's awesome. But I do want to talk about the work that you're doing with Chamal Harnof, because on October 7th, you literally, as you described it, hit the ground running. Can you explain what Chamal Harnof is and what it does? And how it started, just the whole kind of background.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so the war started on Simchat Torah on Shabbat, and those first couple days afterwards, everybody was just like paralyzed. Like we didn't know what was going on. We didn't know what was flying. We were just like as all Jews were around the world, and everybody was kind of just doing whatever they could, right? And so we started hearing about like families coming to Har-Nof, this place, running away from this city and that city. People were hearing about bases popping up and even needing things. So like we were all just kind of doing random things. And within a couple of days, there was a lot of different initiatives that had started in Har-Nof, helping, you know, trying to help in various ways. And I noticed that there were these two women, Naama Heller, who's originally from South Africa, and Shani Milgram, who's originally from Switzerland, that were posting about different things. One of them was trying to organize things, I think, for like Shiva homes, that, you know, unfortunately for people that were murdered. And Shani was organizing a lot of things for like medical supplies for different hotels and army bases. And so I kind of just decided, and I was doing my own thing, and I kind of just decided, like, why don't we just have like a small meeting on that first Saturday night after the war to kind of just like pool our resources together, just like centralize a little bit of what Har-Nof was doing. And I had known Naama a bit beforehand. Nobody knew who Shani was. She had just moved to the community about a month and a half before the war broke out.
Wow.
And the three of us met, you know, at the apartment. And you know, within half an hour, we just looked at each other, like, okay, we're opening up a chamal. Now, at the time, we didn't even know what a chamal was. It was just the word that everybody was using to open up these like organizations to like help people. We later found out that it was an acronym for Cheder Milchama, which means a war room. So essentially, we just opened up a crisis center,
Wow.
and we just wanted to help. And we slowly, over the course of that first week, we realized how many families were running away and finding refuge in Har-Nof. And so we specifically started with that. But from the beginning, we just felt like Hashem was putting us in that room together as messengers to help his people. Like it was like, you know, people always ask, like, how did you get involved? How did you get involved? I'm like, I didn't ask to get involved. Like Hashem put me in this position. Like if anybody else would have been in my position and would have had like that meeting, like you would have done it, Jenna. Like anybody would have done it. It was just a matter of like, I was there, so I did it. You know, like it wasn't, there's nothing special or unique about me that I did it and somebody else couldn't. And I feel like that's how we all feel every single minute that we're working with Kamal. We just feel like we are Hashem's messenger to help his people.
Yeah, I think you're underselling yourself a little bit. Yeah, Ella is a powerhouse of chesed, a powerhouse of loving kindness and giving. You have been since the day I met you. And so for you, it was like obvious, like you're going to be involved in jumping on the WhatsApp group and not everyone was going to jump into that extent or able to for whatever reason, but like you, to you wasn't even a question. Like you just jumped in without even thinking about it. So yeah, like to you it's obvious, but it's I mean, you have been living and breathing this work of helping these displaced families and helping the army base you adopted. We're going to talk more about it. So, okay, so the displaced families come to Har-Nof. About how many families have you guys been helping, and how does it work? Like when a displaced family came, like what were you doing for them? And then like what are you doing for them now that this has been going on for over 2 months?
Right. Okay. So I'll say that one of the first things we did, which looking back, I realized Baruch Hashem, we really had the insight to do, was we reached out to a therapist within, I think, 48 hours of starting Chamal, and we just said, we don't know what we're doing. None of us are therapists. We've never dealt with trauma. I mean, thank God, thank God. You know, like I'm for sure not that type of trauma. And we just really need help. Like how do you deal with this? Like what, how, like just basic tools of how to work with people that are traumatized. And she gave us very, very clear guidelines of how to help, but not enable. And it was very important for us to hear it because, you know, sometimes you just feel like you want to give. You know, a simple example would be meal trains, right? So, you know, at that point, we had set up meal trains for everybody that we know coming to the neighborhood, and we made the meal trains for like 3 weeks. Like we were just like, they need help, and like people wanted to make meals, and it's just so forthcoming. And when we spoke to the therapist, she said very clearly, you give meal trains for a week, 2 weeks tops. You help them settle in. You know, pour on that love and support, make them feel, you know, that we're there for them. But the worst thing we could do for somebody who's traumatized is to paralyze them and to make them feel like they you know, that they're not capable of doing things. And it was such an incredible insight. Like duh, like that makes sense, but like we didn't think that. Like we were thinking, like people just are filled with chesed and want to help, and so that was like really. She gave us a number of insights like that that really have guided our, you know, how things unfolded in Chamal. And the second thing we did about a week into Chamal was we turned to the local Tom Chay Shabbos. It's the organization that works with the poor people of the community, and again we sat down with the head, excuse me, Rav Shpry. And he has invested hours and hours and hours and hours into Chamal, and he has literally walked us through because we turned to him and said, like, well, we don't know how to deal with poor people. Like none of us have a background in this, right? Like, you know, Shani's a nurse, you know, Nama's an educator, I'm an educator. Like, this isn't like what we do. But what we realized very, very quickly is that the majority of the families that ended up in Har-Nof are from a town in the south called Netivot. They were not evacuated by the government, which means that they left on their own volition, but they are very, very, very close to Gaza, so they are hearing the bombings all night long, and you know, the terrorists ran through their city also. I mean, they have real, real trauma and cannot be. I mean, one of the families that was here, their house was direct hit by the by a rocket and destroyed. Like it's they got their fair share, unfortunately, but because they weren't evacuated by the government, they don't have any funding. They're not getting any help from the government. So they end up in Har-Nof, and we realized very quickly that Netivot in general is a low-income community. So not only are we dealing with people with trauma and homeless, and jobless for many of them because they worked in Netivot and you know jobs weren't around at that point, but they were also coming in with no money.
Right,
Like, you
to
know, from the
set
beginning, they were
themselves
telling
up.
us their credit cards are maxed out. You know, the families would tell us, like, you know, we don't have money to buy like bread and hummus to feed our children for dinner tonight. Like the most
Gosh.
basic heart-wrenching stories. And like it was terrible. So we turned to Tom Chay Shabbos and Rav Shpry, Hashem should bless him. Like he just like walked ha and continues to walk us through this whole process of how do you help a poor family? Like what type of funding do you give them? Like just all the different things that are involved. So that was really, really important for us from the beginning. Practically speaking, what we've been doing, at the peak we had, I think it was 54 families in
Wow.
Har-Nof. Again, these families now are what's called Haredi, ultra Orthodox, and I mean, I would say the average amount was 7 children per family. Some families had 10 plus. We're talking about very, very large families, and we helped with everything. We helped them find housing. We'd furnish it if needed to. We would get, you know, basics, the blankets, the pillows, the pots, the pans. Some of them we were helping them pay rent because they couldn't find a free apartment, or we paid the cleaning fees, like, you know, just anything had to do with like finding the housing. Then the first thing we did was it was set up all the children in the educational system, which again, if you're not from Israel, you might not be familiar with this idea of protexia, but it's not easy to get kids into schools in Israel. Like you really got to pull strings and like really ace your interview. It's like a whole
Right.
process to get in. And thank God within, I think it was about a week span, we managed to get over 100 kids into school systems, like into God, like into like pre-1A and kindergartners, like all the different like stages. And we were even helping them get into like more advanced levels, like post high school types of programs as well. And then we worked on therapies. I mean, obviously we're working on all these things in parallel time, right? But working on therapies, offering art, animals, social workers, like all different types of therapies that the families needed. Food, like I mentioned, meal trains or vouchers to go to the local stores to buy groceries, clothing. We have to remember they're down from down south. They don't own warm clothing.
Oh my
So in the
gosh.
first couple of weeks, they couldn't even go down back to their homes because it was just like an absolute mess. But even as time went on and they were able to go back to pick up, things that they forgot, they simply don't own a warm coat. So
Right.
we opened up an entire, what's called gemach, like a whole setup, a whole store, for people to come in and for free get brand new coats and everything, like from babies all the way up to men, women clothing. It was coats and things like that. We had a whole massive toy drive. So the families, I mean, the most common thing we heard when we opened up this toy drive was the first Shabbos, these families didn't have toys, and they said like the second Shabbos was a world of a difference. You can't imagine what just having a few toys for each child can their experience. Like it just calmed them down, made them feel like a child, had
Right,
entertainment, right?
right.
We helped the families get job placements, for the husbands to go back into kollels. There were kollels that were opened up specifically in Jerusalem, for the men that were displaced. We had weekly after school activities for the kids. We also had big children activities, carnivals, animal shows. Like we also had to like boost their morale, like remind them that they're children. I remember there was one carnival that we had. It was about 3 weeks in. And it was finally a family showed up at the carnival that we've been trying to get them to come out to activities. They couldn't leave their house. Some other didn't leave the house for a couple of weeks, even in Har-Nof. The trauma follows them, right? Like they
Yeah.
finally said, like they finally felt like a family, like they were children again. And then we had activities for the parents, challah bakes, own eggs. They're just we tried
Wow.
to cover all the basics and a bit more.
A bit more.
So that was what was going on with the families. And at the same time, in parallel, we were working with this army base that we adopted. Shani Milgram had found this army base. I'm actually not sure how she found them, but she found them. And it's about 200 soldiers, and we're really their address. So like for big item purchases, like their fridge and freezer broke down on a Friday morning, and it was close to $3,000. And again, the IDF has money and can do it and can provide, but like there's so much going on, as you can imagine, with the army right now. Like they don't have the personnel to be working with one specific base to order them a fridge, So within a couple hours, we had a fridge and freezer at their door, because
Wow.
it's almost Shabbos, they needed it, Or they called us up and told us 6 weeks into the war that they didn't have washing machines and dryers. And we're like, what? Like, what are you doing? 200 soldiers for 6 weeks. And they told us they're right next to Hebron, and the people in Kiryat Arba and Hebron, like the neighboring towns, have literally been coming and picking up all the laundry of all these soldiers for 6 weeks. Can you imagine?
Oh
And
my
doing the
gosh.
laundry and returning it. And they said like it's just becoming too much for them. We need to get washed dry. We're like, obviously, and fundraise for that, and sent that off right away. Like, so we have the big item purchases. And also the socks, the toiletries, the toilet paper. They don't. They every base gets X amount of toilet paper. They run out. Like it's just such basic needs that they need.
Yeah.
We send like weekly Shabbos packages, food, challah. On Hanukkah, we actually made a very special delivery for them. We sent them about six suitcases of toys that we received from America, brand new, gorgeous toys, along with gift cards for the wives, for them to go and whatever it was,
Wow.
to go shopping with X amount on the gift card. Because we knew that we were hoping that the soldiers were going to be able to go home at some point during the Hanukkah season.
Yeah.
And we didn't want them to walk in empty-handed. And so we wanted them to feel like they
Beautiful.
can walk in and you just start crying. You just see the pictures of the kids, the smiles, like these are humans you're talking about. They're not just,
Exactly.
soldiers on the front line. Like, we want to help them fill that as well, and make big barbecues. Just also, there's some things you just do just for the morale of the unit. Like these
Totally.
guys are putting their lives on the line for us, and we just want them to feel that love and support.
Yes.
So that's how it all started. That's
You
where it all began.
wow. Okay, I'm blown away. I knew, we've been talking over the weeks, but I didn't even realize the full extent of what you guys have been doing is so unbelievable. It's like you said, it's not even just the basic necessities. It's like helping these displaced families, helping these soldiers to feel like people again, and to humanize and the love. And it's like beyond just, okay, we'll help you find a place. And, like it's the outpouring of love and support is really, it's just so inspiring. I want you to speak a little bit more about the Shabbos and the newborn packages that you guys have been doing for the families, because I think that's also like an unbelievable thing. And if you could also speak about the simchas that you've been making, because you told me,
Yeah, so the Shabbos packages like kind of just started as like, oh, it's the first week of the war. We wanted these families to feel, a kiss from the community, right? Like just like a hug from the community. And so I don't remember what we sent out that first Shabbos, like, some nash, and I actually do remember we sent out some nash and homemade cookies. And on Thursday morning, this is actually how I met Shani via phone the first time. On Thursday morning, she found out that I was making these packages because I guess I must have put it on the WhatsApp group. And she calls me up and tells me, please send me a list of all the families, how many children, ages, and genders. And I'm like, thinking to myself, I'm like, who are you? Like, I didn't know who Johnny was. And she says to me, I want to buy each one of them a toy. This just like shows a little glimpse into Shani's very, very, very big heart. And I quickly sent her an entire list of all these toy of all these children, and she dropped off this massive, massive package at my friend's house was organizing Shabbos packages, and every single family got, in addition to like the generic package I put together, a package of toys, like specific for
Specifically.
their family, for their child, for their age, for their gender. And that's how the Shabbos packages started. And I mean, now I think we're going on week 9, 10. I'm not even sure, to be honest. I've lost count, but they've just evolved into different things every week. We try to send different things, and almost, I would say 90% of it, come more than that, comes from donations of people locally or from abroad. So for example, there's all these groups that are coming from abroad to come show their support in Israel, and they'll bring a ton of stuff. And it's one of the things I've been asking groups before they come to organize, is they bring little packages that we can include in our Shabbos package. So for example, one group brought like a whole like little arts and crafts packages that they made up. We told them how many we needed. And so in addition to the Nash, they got like an arts and crafts package for their kids to,
Oh,
to kids to
nice.
have. Another group sent like little makeup, makeup and little makeup bags. Each
So
theme,
nice.
we send jewelry sometimes, we send vouchers sometimes. Like different groups have been doing different things. Somebody donated, a Judaica store based out of Har-Nof, they donated well over 100 challah boards. These
Wow.
gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous challah boards. And then a seminary made all these beautiful, delicious challahs, and we put that together, and that was the
Oh.
package 1 week. So, but it really, I mean, it got to a point where some of these families got kicked out of, I mean, we didn't discuss this yet, but like, they get kicked out of the houses the apartments they're staying in, because it's people are opening up,
Yeah.
giving either rentals for free or whatever the setup is. And it got to a point that some people left far enough, and the kids looked forward to their Shabbos packages so
Oh.
much that we actually continued to give Shabbos packages to some of these
Wow.
families, because it's like
Wow.
it's something that really made them feel like the world's, supporting them. So that
Wow.
was the Shabbos packages. The newborn packages is a story in and of itself, and I just feel like I need to publicly like thank her to the whole world. Her name is Cynthia Casson. She lives in Brooklyn, and she runs this unbelievable organization called I Have a Baby. It's meant to be based for New York, New Jersey, families of need, that are in need of this, of any type of baby supplies. So if somebody is, financially needs it, they'll send packages of whatever it is, all the basics when a baby's born. And I'm not gonna tell the whole story right now, but we got connected to her, and so there's somebody in Har-Nof that is overseeing this project in particular. And any baby that's been born during the war, or a little bit before the war, let's say, like up to like 3, 4 months before the war, we find out, we reach out to them, and we send these packages. And again, you're talking the most basics of basics. You're talking diapers, maternity, formula, bottles, blankets. We're not talking about all these extra toys, like all the extras that we all buy when we have children. It's literally, Just this morning, Chamal ran an event at the Ramada Hotel with 100 kids from Sderot that are displaced at the Ramada. Yeah, that's kind of like where we're shifting now. We're shifting to hotels because a lot of the families in Har-Nof have gone back. We had probably about 70, 75 families in Har-Nof over the course of the war, and now we're about 15 to 20. So our energies are kind of being shifted towards other areas of need. But as I was in the hotel, I was kind of meeting a lot of these families, and I met this one woman who I had heard of her story. And when I met her, I was like, "Oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm actually meeting you in person." I don't know if you've heard the story, but
No.
there is a she's now she's a mother of five, but at the time of the war, she was very, very, very pregnant, and she was in her safe room in her shelter in her apartment, like which is usually it's a bedroom, throughout the entire Simchat Torah, like on October 7th, lived in Sderot. And her labor began, and she was having terrible, terrible, terrible contractions the entire day. And obviously, they were in touch with Mada, and just trying to figure out what to do. And Mada's like, "Okay, we're gonna send a paramedic." And she's like, "I can't give birth in my safe room. Like, it's a tiny room. I have four other children under the age of seven in the room with me. Like, this is not like not happening." And she told me today, she said, "I just talked to the baby the entire time. And I just kept telling the baby, I know you want to come out, but not yet, not yet." And she literally held the baby in. At some point that evening, like police escort, army escort in an ambulance, like under fire. It was like insane how she was
Wow.
describing it. She was rushed off to the hospital. Thank God she gave birth to a healthy baby boy. And I just met her today, and it was just like, first of all, you have to understand these people are so grateful for every little thing we give them. Little, like the tiniest. It's just they are so touched by everything we do for them. And I just said to her, I was like, "What do you need? We have this amazing organization that is underwriting, funding anything that newborns need. Like, what do you need?" And she was like embarrassed to ask me. She's like, I need diapers." And I'm like, "Diapers? That's not something you should be embarrassed to ask. That is a basic necessity. A child needs diaper. It's so sad. It's so hard to see it, And she actually asked me, she said, "I need a bouncy chair for 2 months." She goes, thank God I have a bassinet. For 2 months, this baby's been on his back the entire time. And it's now actually affecting how he's eating. 'Cause he hasn't been, pulled up, like sat up at all. And she's like, and it's these little things we don't think about, because obviously when we have a baby, thank God, we buy a bouncy chair, we have it from the previous child, and that's a normal thing you do. And so we're like, of course you're gonna give a bouncy chair. Like, these are basic necessities. So I ended up walking out of the Ramada. I didn't count, but I think it's about 10 women that gave birth since the start of the war while staying at the Ramada. Obviously, giving birth at the hospital next nearby, but needing the basics. So those are newborn packages. Before the Ramada, I think we had given out, I think it's about 75 packages
And that's
to
not even
families.
people in Har-Nof, that's all over Israel.
It's all over Israel, mainly in Jerusalem, but yeah, we've given out to other locations as well.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
And okay, and can you tell a little bit about
The
the
simchas.
simchas? Yeah.
The simchas. Yeah. So it's like you said, like life goes on, war or no war. Life goes on. Like a baby turns 8 days, or a baby turns 1 month old and needs a pidyon haben, or turns 3 years old and needs to get their hair cut with an epsherin or a chalaka. And so we realized that very, very, very quickly within the first week, within the first 2 weeks, I think we had already made like six or seven different simchas, bar bat mitzvahs, engagement parties, weddings. I mean, you name it, like literally the whole gamut. And we've had incredible, there's some people in Har Nof that just really opened that. I'm not gonna mention names. I know they don't want their names mentioned. Who literally opened up their homes and just put out the entire, did everything A to Z of planning it, of paying for it, of setting it up, cleaning it up. And just one thing I have to mention is like everything is done in such a mechabed way, in such a respectful way. It's never done in a way where people feel like they're just like poor people and beggars. It's like they walk into these things and they're just like, whoa. Like, just they feel so good about it. It's just the whole,
Beautiful.
there was one incident in particular of I mean, thank God again, with every step of the way Hashem has guided us through this, and you just feel how he's done it all for us. So we just really are just messengers of his. And from the beginning, we really worked very hard to create an infrastructure for Chamal. One of the things we actually did was we had a volunteer paired up with every family to quote unquote to kind of like adopt that family. And And that way we knew that every family was being taken care of. They were calling them every day, checking in on them. What do they need? How can we help them? So we really created an incredible infrastructure. And Baruch Hashem, because of that, people from all over Yerushalayim and from all over the South heard about us. And we, and all three of us, Shani, Nam, and myself, we were getting phone calls all day long from the most random people, totally not, related in any way to Hard Enough, asking us for anything and everything. And so we tried our best to say yes to everything. And so somebody called me up about apartments because I was heavily involved with finding people apartments in the beginning of the war. And somebody asked me about an apartment, and I said to her, unfortunately, I didn't have anything to offer her. And so before I hang up the phone, I said, I hope we find an apartment, easily. Hung up the phone, and then a minute later, I realized, you know what, I might have a connection for her. And so I called her back, and I asked her, like, what's the setup? How many kids? How many people in the family? Whatever it is, and she explained the whole setup, and it was like, I remember the exact details of the couple with like two or three married daughters and a single daughter. And it was a whole, it was like 18 or 20 people that all
Wow.
needed housing. It was like a big deal. Yeah. And she casually mentioned in there that one of the single daughters had just got engaged right before Sukkot. And I said, wow, Mazel Tov, it's so exciting. Anyway, she started telling me the whole story. And this sister of hers was somewhere around 35 or 38 years old. It was like an older single who got engaged. And obviously she had lived, she had waited so many years. And she was, this person on the phone, she was describing how many prayers and how many things the whole family had done for this, the sister to merit finding her spouse. And she said, her family hasn't even met the spouse yet. Meaning they hadn't made that big engagement party yet. Like where like all the family comes in from all over Israel to like meet the spouse and all that. Meet the chassan, and she was like at the verge of tears on the call, and she's just like, and we don't even know when we're gonna make it. They had it planned for the day after Sukkot, and we don't know when we're gonna make it. And like on the spot, I was just like, we're making it for you. It's like we're making it. Like it's just like it's like why like how, it, I keep telling people, I was like, people are like, oh my gosh, but the amount that you're doing and what you're going, I was just like, you literally feel like they're sisters and brothers to you. Everybody would do this, Jenna. You would do this for your brother. Like it's not. And when you feel that connection to people, like you jump on board. It's not even a question to you.
Wow.
And I just said, we're making it for you. She's like, what? I'm like, we're making you an engagement party. And she's like, what? I was like, tell me when you want it. Do you want it this Thursday or the following Sunday? And she was so floored by the whole thing. And within 48 hours, we had this gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous engagement party, completely paid for by somebody in the community, and it was housed by somebody else in the community. And we had a violinist who did it for free, like his offered his services for free, and a photographer who offered her services for free, and somebody on the piano came, and gifts for the it's customary here, like you give gifts to the bride at the engagement party. So we had all different people in the community bought brand new different items for the house, like the whole nine yards,
My gosh.
the makeup for the bride, the whole thing. Because at one point the sister said to me, she goes, it kills me because my sister-in-law, she's the bride, and she pulled me into the room the other night with my other sister, and she said to me, she goes, can you just dance with me, like in our room in this apartment in Har Nof, can you just dance with me, like I don't feel like a bride. I've
Wow.
waited years and years and years to get married, and I just don't feel like a bride. And like
Wow.
it's like she has a right to feel like a bride. She's, a Jewish woman like all of us, and like
Waited
we
this
want to just
long.
help people. So we
It's
just pulled together our
unbelievable.
resources and pulled together what we can to make these simchas happen.
No, it's unbelievable, and it really speaks to you and the community in Har Nof and the Jewish people at large. Like we say, like
Yes.
Mi Kamocha Yisrael, like who is like your nation, the Jewish people? Like, look what we do for each other. It's just like such an unbelievable thing. Like, we are builders. We're builders. And no matter what situation we find ourselves in, like we just keep building. And it's just such a beautiful thing to see this like outpouring of love and support in your community that you've helped coordinate and lead and spearhead. It's really just so inspiring. Can you speak a little bit about the creative ways that American Jews have been raising money for Chamal Har Nof?
It's like you're saying, Mikam Israel. I from the beginning, I remember saying this in the first week of the war. I felt like I was spending half my day crying, just hearing these terrible, terrible, traumatic stories from these families living in Har Nof, staying in Har Nof. And the other half of the day, I was crying, just hearing the most beautiful, touching, Mikamcha stories of what people were doing to help. It was just, it's so overwhelming. And just, I have to just say, we thank God I'm not displaced. I have an apartment in Herndorf. I'm living here, you know. But even like myself, I feel so much love and support every single time we get a donation from abroad. I'm just like, why us? Like, why is money coming to us? Like, what do we do? Like, you know, like it just, you just
Wow.
feel so supported and you really just feel like you're one big family. Just like a few different stories. One organization took upon themselves to help, you know, raise funds for us, and they put a raffle out on their Instagram, and I think it ran for 48 hours, and it was just, you know, everybody who enters, anybody who sends $54 for the cause is going to be an automatic winner in this raffle. I don't know what the prizes were. I'm sure they weren't like, you know, crazy, crazy big prizes, but like, you know, but everybody felt like they were going to get something for donating $54, and within 48 hours, they raised almost $20,000.
God.
Right, it's just like it's but it's just the creativity that comes along with it, right? Somebody else, not even an organization, somebody who just heard about Herndorf and the things that we're doing, she decided that you know, something in a welfare community, and you know, her circle of friends are the types that like all go out for everybody's coffee every day or salad every day, and she decided to send a message to all her friends in her network, you know, why don't we each give up one salad this week, and instead send $20 towards Chamal Harnof. And within a couple of hours, we had $2,500.
Oh my gosh. Oh
Is
my
that
God.
insane?
Insane.
Insane. Because when you think of it like that, it's like, yeah, don't get your Starbucks coffee for $8. And instead, like, but like, and I always felt bad because when these donations were coming in, many of my friends weren't in a financial situation to send larger donations. They were sending $36, $54, $18, and they would send it with like an apologetic like message of like, I'm so sorry, I wish I can donate more. And what people don't realize on our end is that when I would get a donation for, let's say $54, right? That's like approximately, you know, 200 and something shekel, 250 shekel, whatever. That is a voucher for a couple to have food for a week.
Wow.
So it's like we don't think of it in that way. We're just like,
Yeah.
oh, it's 54. Is that enough? Like, what are they going to buy with it? Like, we're talking totally different like
Right.
financial systems here. Like, you know,
Right.
when they say every dollar counts, it really does make a difference. It really makes a difference.
I really, yeah.
And we're completely dependent on funds from abroad because Harnof is an unbelievable, unbelievable community. Like, it's just the things they've been doing. I mean, I'm just talking about what the three of us have been trying to spearhead. There are so many other initiatives coming out of Hanover right now. I mean, there's the laundry initiative. The hotels in the beginning, they didn't have laundry services. So Hanover, the volunteers from Hanover going to the hotels, picking up everybody's dirty laundry as if it was room service, right? Like, you know, written like room number 204. They'd go home, do their laundry, fold it up
Wow.
nicely, and return it the next day. Like, another hotels they were sending, you know, even though we're getting three, you know, 3 meals a day at these hotels, there was groups of people from Hanover sending out soups and salad and bread every single day to some of these
Wow.
hotels. Like, there's so much going on, and Hanover is incredible. Like, it's
Wow.
filled with chesed. What can I say?
Yeah.
People are stretching themselves beyond. But at the end of the day, like, it's not an affluent community, and so that's why we really rely on the funds from abroad. It's not
Yeah.
that that's not coming from within.
Yeah, totally. Oh my gosh, I mean, each example you're giving is like more mind-blowing than the next. It's just such an humble. I went to
We
a,
can go on for hours, Jenna. I'm just
yeah.
trying to keep it concise.
I know you have so much more. I know you do. I want to ask you, and you've kind of alluded to this throughout, how is Emunah and Hashgacha Pratit, divine providence, played a role in your work with Chamal Harnof?
I really don't think there's anything unique about myself. Like I just mentioned, Harnof is filled with amazing, amazing people. I'm not any more special than anybody else. It's not, it's just, I really feel like Hashem put us in this, you know, the three of us into this role. Again, the fact that none of us knew each other, the fact that none of us are like Israeli born, like it's not like we know this culture or like, I mean, I speak a very broken Hebrew, which is kind of like I can write a whole book about the stupid things I said in Hebrew through this whole process. Thank God I have improved a lot, but I just not only do I feel like I'm his messenger, like in terms of being put into this role, but like every step of the way, you feel Hashem guiding you into like. You know, the other day we started saying, okay, like we're closing up this project, like closing up like the clothing gemach, for example, because there's not as much of a need anymore for Hanof and whatever it is. And then so we were like, we're joking about it, we're like, okay, great, so we can get a little breather. I'm not joking. I said that. I look at my phone and I got a WhatsApp message. okay, there's a seminary from Sderot that's getting, that is getting kicked out of where they are currently, and they're moving to Har-Nof, and they needed like a new location, and they need help with X, Y, and Z. And I show it to my Tanam and Shani. I'm like, okay, I guess this is our next project. Like literally, like you just finish one thing, and Hashem just sends you the next project, and it's like, why us? Like Hashem feels like we're,
You're the messenger.
the his messenger, but it's more than just being his messengers. Hashem then sends us the resources to do it. It didn't end up unfolding like this, but just as I got that message, I was speaking to one of the volunteers who had adopted a family, and she tells us that that family is leaving, and their apartment, which actually is a very large apartment, it housed 19 people. It was two families together. It was a whole story in of itself, which I didn't even touch on. And the seminary needed 15 to 20 beds. I'm like, perfect. What a shidduch, right? It ended up they found somewhere else instead in the meantime, but it was just like Hashem literally opens up, like, and gives
Doors.
you what you
Yep.
need, when you need it.
Amazing.
And it's something that we said from the beginning. We're like, we want to be able to say yes to everything. As long as it is a healthy decision for the recipients and that it's not enabling them in any way, we want to be able to say yes. And there were many, many times where just something would happen and we would just be like, a request would come our way. We would say yes. And then we would say, Hashem, like, just these are your children. Like, you send us the funding. Like, that's what it comes down to. It's the resources and the funding. And
Wow.
Baruch Hashem, we've been able to see a lot of Hashkacha, a lot of God's hands in everything we did.
I heard Brett Stevens, who is a journalist, speak this past Shabbos, and he said a point that it's just ringing so true throughout this whole conversation. He said he's not worried about Israel because when you have a society where the people, the citizens, rise up the way we've seen to do and act for each other in the ways the government has failed, I don't want to criticize the government, I'm not getting political, but just the ways the government has fallen short, there's been a void. You know, like you said, like a lot of these families, they had to leave. They were in the line of fire, but the government, they didn't officially get evacuated, so the government's not going to provide funding and assistance. But you and all the amazing people in Har Nof and the Jewish community stepped up to find them a place to live and give them food and clothing and toys. And when you have people who, in this Jewish society, Israeli society, that's stepping up on this level, he said, I'm not worried about Israel. Israel's going to be okay. I mean, there's countless stories of retired generals going and fighting the terrorists on October 7th. And I mean, countless stories. What you just said, a whole community picking up dirty laundry from the army base and washing it. I mean, these are stories like you're not hearing, but the amount of Chesed that we've been doing for each other is so mind-blowing. It's so inspiring and so unbelievable. So anyway, I think so glad we were able to talk a little bit about it and you were able to give listeners a little taste of what's been going on there and the work that you've been
Thank
doing.
you.
And Hashem really should continue to bless you and your partners, Shani and Nama, with just continued success, continued strength. If listeners want to donate, you guys have a donation page now that I can link to, right?
We do. Thank you so much.
Okay.
And again, I'll just totally understand that people feel tapped out. Like, it's something I'm hearing from a lot of people, and I get it because they're tapped out for a reason. Everybody has given so much, whether it's sending suitcases, funding, like, whatever it is, coming on missions, spending, really hands in, hands-on work, volunteering, and we so appreciate everything that has come our way so far, and we understand it. And but unfortunately, there's just a reality on the ground. I was speaking to some donors this morning, and it's unfortunate. The war is still going on, and
Right.
please, 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 God, we should see an end to this war so soon, and the hostages come back safely, and
Amazing.
every soldier should come back safely, and everybody should go back to their homes and just not have trauma. Like, it just. We need Mashiach. We really, God willing, we should see happy times very, very soon.
Amen.
That being said, unfortunately, the war is still going on, and people still need things. And one of the things we're shifting from right now is we're not in that urgency mode right now. It's not like, oh, we have to get a roof over their heads, so to speak. Although that is actually happening a bit with the people from the north, which I haven't discussed. That's a whole other project that we're working on. But at the end of the day, they need basic needs, and the
Yeah.
funding, if we still need the funding, and we just need to start being a bit more creative of how to do it and how to funnel the money in so it goes to the right resources and the right places. But we really feel the love and the support from all the Jews. I have to just share one quick thing, which is early on in the war, I asked Shani, like, what can we be sending up to these soldiers? Obviously, besides the, chocolate chip cookies and the challahs, like, what else can we send them? And she said to me, they love the pictures of the from the, that the kids draw. I said, okay, great, fine. So that was cute. So I asked my friends to, have their kids draw some pictures. They sent them pictures, and then the following week, I go, okay, what else can we send? And she said the same thing over again. I said, you know what, Johnny, this week I'm going to ask my friends to write a letter from them. You know, the husband and wife should write a letter just as to the soldiers, you know, showing their appreciation and their support and their love and that they're praying for them. And Johnny's response was like, that's a very sweet thought, but please make sure to include pictures from the kids. And I'm like, I thought she was crazy, right? Like, I was like, okay, I get it. And afterwards, we were talking to like the soldiers and the officers, and like, you don't understand these pictures from the kids. It is something they literally. They decorate their tanks with it. They decorate the
My
inside of
gosh.
their makeshift offices with it. That is, it's just, but it's reflective of not just the kids' paintings, drawings. It's reflective of the love and care and support that we're all feeling from all over the world. It's just like, that's what they need to feel at the end of the day. It's, you know, some people, you know, everybody has different thoughts of like, you know, what can we do? How can we do it? How do we play it all out? And at the end of the day, it's just, we want all of Am Yisrael to feel like we're all one family. And so we're all just doing our part in it. And so anything we can do to help in that way is really, really appreciated. And I started with this and I'll end with it. Like it's, we just feel Hashem walking us through this. And it's really about prayer and just really it's finding literally 10 seconds a day, if that's all you can pray, and just throwing up a quick prayer in your own words, Hashem, that he should safeguard all the Jews all over the world. And, you know, be there for us, and we should feel them in our lives.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, y'all. That was so beautiful, and I think everyone's going to be very inspired. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed what you heard, please subscribe, share, rate, and review. I really appreciate it. Have a great day.